Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all things Mac. A great panel and a great week for news. Actually, there's loads of stuff we can go through, which is absolutely brilliant. Joining me, awesome panel. Starting us off, top left, it's the Doc.
Aloha.
What's going on, brother?
Good. You know that I always tell myself I'm not going to do it, but like a week before you go on a trip, you start like hustling, bustling, and trying to get more things done. And I always tell myself I'm not going to do that because I should just work like that all the time. Yeah, it doesn't work. So we're going to next week. I'll be doing the show next to Christensen.
Wow.
Is he going to be there? Is he going to come on?
I don't know. I'm going to bug him, but we're going to definitely meet up and go eat some Mexican food.
Oh, that'd be cool. If we can get him back on, that'd be a trip down memory lane.
Yeah. But it'd be good to run into him because I haven't seen him, you know, since, you know, he got busy and couldn't do this. So, yeah, I know. San Diego, here it come. Can't wait.
Excellent, man.
Nice.
Next to him, Brett Boy Terpstra. How's it going, dude?
Oh, hey, I'm not last today.
No, mate, because is it digging deep that I usually end up saying, and finally?
What?
Is that hurting too much? Do you want me to put you on line one instead or something?
Oh, no, you know what? It's okay.
Okay. The beard's coming on well, mate.
Thank you. It's almost 2 inches now.
Have you got a beard straightener or something?
No, I made my own beard balm out of beeswax and cocoa butter, jojoba oil, and I just keep it well conditioned, and the beeswax kind of makes it just stay.
You can't actually turn your head.
I can't lay down is the thing.
And if you stand near an open flame, you start dripping.
No, I actually start smelling like chocolate because of the cocoa butter.
Oh, that'd be good. Does that make you popular with the ladies?
I've never had any complaints.
Good man. Good man. That's what I want to hear. And last but by no means least, not Brett Terpstra.
Also no beard.
Patrice Brendamore, who couldn't grow a beard in under 2 years if he tried. Same as me, I don't think.
No, I actually could. Like, I really? Grow a beard pretty fast. Yeah, it just looks horrible, so I never do it.
Oh, okay.
I've tried. I've had a beard in, like when I was, 20 to 25 or something, like early 20s.
Oh, you got to send us that picture, mate.
Oh, I'll find it.
I think you should grow a beard.
No.
Just for the heck of it.
Well, I think you should have one of those little things that's just in the, you know, like in the crevice under your lip. What do you call those?
Oh, soul patch.
Flavor saver. Yeah. Oh, soul patch.
Yeah, flavor saver is right too.
No.
Wait, Patrice just had an HR meeting. We can't say that.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it wasn't my HR meeting, so it's all good.
A bit early, isn't it?
I was the manager, so I'm good.
Okay. The week in Apple. Right, fellas, I want you to try hard not to get too excited at the first story. Okay. Because it's a good one.
Apple
likely to be planning to break up the iTunes store. Yes.
Oh, you have no idea.
Didn't they already do that?
No, they're talking about breaking it up. So there's going to be a music app and a podcast app that are going to be separate.
Oh, on the Mac, you mean?
Yeah, they're going to marzipan music onto the Mac.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the good thing will be, hopefully at least, that one, the music app on the iPad will get better, and two, that like the Mac will actually get feature-wise what iOS has had for quite a while.
That's the hope.
Things missing. That's the hope. We'll see.
Or it could be.
We're hoping that it doesn't lose like core iTunes functionality, though, for people who, you know, still live out of their iTunes libraries instead of Apple Music. I think that's where I've heard the most concern from people.
Yeah.
Just once you get into Marzipan apps, they tend to not directly access all the things that a native app would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing that iTunes will stick around just like QuickTime 7 stuck around for forever. I'm pretty sure that, I mean, it will still be available.
You know, the crazy part is, yeah, like my iTunes library is huge now. But when I switched over to Apple Music, when it was just iTunes in the cloud, I kind of started already readjusting my iTunes workflow knowing that it might die at some point. Who knew it would be like 8 years later where the rumor just comes up? But I don't treat my iTunes library the way I used to treat my library. At that time is when I got full panicked and rolled the Plex server. So my technical, like all my DJ stuff, my sorting, like the whole nine yards is technically on the Plex server running back there on the Unraid. But yeah, I think there's, Brett's definitely right that like, if you start to mess with certain people's, you know, libraries, like remember when Dalrymple wanted to kill the world because they jacked up his library with music in the cloud?
No, yeah, with Match, just, yeah.
Yeah, it could be a thing. It can definitely be a thing.
Well, there was the death threats that were coming from having the U2 album added, weren't there?
That's true.
Tim, yeah. Death Threat Cook.
Yeah, don't take my stuff, but also don't add anything.
Yeah, it's a curated album, bitch.
I haven't used iTunes in forever, like at least a couple of years. Like since I switched to Apple Music, whenever that came out, I've basically not opened it at all. And even before then, I was barely using it.
I've never opened it on the desktop. That's it. I don't watch films through it. Don't. Yeah, films are all through the Apple TV.
Well, isn't there Apple TV function? TV's coming to the Mac, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Already announced.
So will I be able, like if I have apps like AMC, will I be able to watch AMC on my Mac? Because that would be awesome.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the plan. Because, you know, like even when you go to the sites, the sort of implementation of how their apps are as a, say, a live stream from the sites. Every single one of them is horrible.
And I
just recently went back to Hulu. I had Hulu first, like before anything, and it drove me nuts because I hated the fact that at that time you're paying like $15 a month to watch commercials. So what happened is Spotify Premium added Hulu service, and at first it was only for new signups. So then I was like, oh, it's Spotify. Then I quit Spotify Premium after like 10 years. They go, wait. You can have Hulu. So the implementation of like using Hulu on a computer, you can't get to the next. If you want to skip an episode and say jump to the middle of the season, it's way harder than it should be. So I think things like TV being able to just like, these are, you know, next in your chain and you just hit it like, and it comes through that implementation. And Apple will be more strict about how it looks. I think mm-hmm. that it could be a game changer for a lot of the websites.
Does TV, does it do a better job if you like watched a season and you go back to episode 2 to start again? Does it tell you episode 3 is next?
Yeah. Yes,
it does. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Yeah, it does. Exactly. Nice. Question from Deep Pan. If they get rid of iTunes, does that mean the end of local music libraries? It can't be. They can't stop you doing syncing and that kind of stuff to your device.
It makes you wonder because they've clearly been working in that direction ever since Match. They want everything streaming and in the cloud, but it just doesn't seem, it would be a really ballsy move to require streaming music.
Well, Deep Pan's,
so I have to assume your local libraries are fine.
Deep Pan's added in, don't forget the iOS app does allow local stored music. So
I didn't even know that. I haven't done that in so long.
Mm. Yeah, one of the first playlists in the automatically generated playlist is on this device.
Can you remember the last time you synced your music library on a device? No clue.
No.
Yes, but in a probably totally different situation. Every time I do a gig, sometimes at gigs, people request a song and then I'll, you know, download it and play it. Or like right before a wedding, people will send me the stuff that they want. So what I do is I have iTunes library on a jet drive, which, you know, little stick about yo big. And then I have the one that's on the master computer connected to the Plex server. So I just run rsync to make sure that they're twins. So I don't want to get to the gig and not have it. But it's not using iTunes sync. I literally just type rsync. Blah, 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 press enter, and then wait 2 minutes, and it's done. So yes and no.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, with Plex, I mean, Plex is offering cloud storage and everything now. So if you want, like, if you don't want to use iTunes, iTunes loses that functionality. You just use Plex, like what Doc is doing.
Plex is the truth. Right before you get on the plane to make that airplane playlist, which is a beautiful combination of audiobooks, podcasts, and music, and a couple of, you know, like old movies and stuff. I still have this giant bin that I'm going through. I'm down to like the last 150 DVDs I have to capture before I can just throw them all away. But I have made so much space in my room by getting rid of the physical DVDs.
In answer to your question, it's possible that the last time I synced my music, it was with a 32-pin cable.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And just for the watching public, Patrice with a beard. And actually, yeah, I said that would suit you. It does suit you, man.
Nah.
Yeah, it's the neck beard, bro. You can go to Portland tomorrow.
Well, I should say this was the shortest it was. Like, I had it way longer and I cut it down. And then that year, I actually completely cut it.
Get some of Brett's some of Brett's car wax on that and it'll look all right, mate. You can get it down to a point.
No.
I think you no, mate. Now you've got an older face as well, pal. Although you do look...
That's true.
You still look like you're 12 now, but you look like you're 10 in this picture.
Yeah, pretty much.
There you go. For all of those people who wondered, I wonder... They were going to lie awake tonight thinking, what does Patrice look like with a beard? Tim Cook is a genius. A new book from Leander Caney. The Tim Cook profiled in the new biography as the genius who took Apple to the next level.
We had a bit of a discussion in this Slack.
We did. So we should repeat it though, because I got to say, I think there's a lot of skullification going on at Apple at the minute.
Yes. I definitely agree with that. I also agree with you on, like, that's not my definition of a genius. Like, I mean, you can say Tim Cook did quite a bit at Apple. Like, he took the company to where it is today, like size-wise and like success-wise.
Under Jobs.
He started under Jobs. But like honestly, he took it to the next level. I would definitely say that. But is that a genius? I wouldn't say so. No. I mean, that is just a good businessman, like someone who understands business and understands supply chain and contracts and all of that and can simply push that.
Well, I think that's a good point because he clearly understands supply chain. There's no question of that. He's the master of supply chain and no one's going to argue it. Maybe a genius of supply chain I might have agreed with.
But even that is pushing it.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. There is a lot of confusion, I think, in the Apple lineup at the moment. And there's a lot of stuff going on that just seems profiteering rather than stability and growth for consumers.
I cannot call anyone at Apple a genius until they fix the keyboards on the MacBooks.
Yeah, I like the new one. Yeah. I have to say that.
Yeah,
it hasn't broken on you yet.
No, I don't own one. That's why.
I agree with Windrider in the chat room. He says the word genius gets used far too freely.
I was just getting ready to say that. That was exactly going to be my point. The word genius is too far thrown around that people don't remember what it means. Because I'm pretty sure if you roll up to Tim Cook and, you know, you asked him, like, you know, what's the square root of XYZ really, really fast, he wouldn't be able to do it. And yet there's
XYZ kids out there
that can do it because their math is their square. So why are you laughing?
Because he said, what's the square root of XYZ? And Brett's just gone, well, no, you can't because they're not numbers.
Well, I was not wanting to throw a number out. I was just using a placeholder. Okay.
If Tim Cook could answer that, I would still not call him a genius.
Well, but you know what I'm saying, right? The old school method of genius was like this wide range of knowledge, a wide range of things, you know, and it was a well-rounded person that could speak on just about anything. Those were you got the genius terms back in the days. And now, like, somebody becomes specialized, like, okay, like, they'll say LeBron James is a genius. No, he's a world's greatest basketball player, but he's not a genius. That's a different conversation. And so that's what the loose definition of genius, and we love labeling things that shan't be labeled, and it loses its real meaning. So for the people out there that are literal geniuses, nobody can actually name any of them. After we lost Stephen Hawking, he was probably the last person that I know of in my meat space where I could just pull his name out of a hat. I'd have to, think a little deeper.
Yeah, but
We have the president and stable genius.
So now he's come to the end of his career. Would you say Gretzky was a genius with a hockey stick?
Yes.
See, that's
with
the thing.
A hockey
say,
stick.
LeBron is a genius with a basketball?
Yes, that's a different story.
There you go. See, qualified.
But see, when they don't qualify it, it's a waste of a word. It's almost I hate to blur it that far, but it's like when in English we use affinity terms for inanimate objects, and in many other languages you just don't do that. So it makes the affinity terms for the wifey usually sound like an a-hole. Because you love your Audi, but then you also love your wife. They're two different things, mm-hmm. And so our language sort of causes this problem.
So if the book had said Tim Cook is a genius for the supply chain, you would have agreed with that?
Supply chain genius, absolute.
Okay.
Windrider's put three.
Keyboard genius, hell no.
He's put four lines in here. Mass genius, exceptional intellect and creative power and natural ability. Was a teacher of genius in singular. Woman that is genius for organization. Two, an exceptionally intelligent person or one with exceptional skill in a particular area of activity. A mathematical genius, for example. And three, mm-hmm. a person regarded as exerting a powerful influence over another for good or evil, as in evil genius.
Okay. I can see that.
Muller's put, didn't Doc used to be a genius, so what is he now then?
That's why the problem exists. We all hated that term. Anybody that stood behind that bar hated that term because some dolt would come to you every time. Oh, so you think you're a genius? What's blah, 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 blah. And it would really mess with people when a person knew the answer. But yeah, I hated that term because it's just like being a bouncer. Some dude wants to call you out.
Apple adds an extra step to in-app purchases. Now, not only do you have to double-click and do a Face ID or a thumb scan, you have to confirm your subscription to something as well with an OK. Now, I've been saying for a long time that Apple needs an F-off button for an awful lot of what they do because the fact that it bugs you constantly really pisses me off, and it's even pissing off people who love Apple. But I've got to say, I don't have a problem with this.
And that's because you have kids.
Well, no, even for myself, because I'm an idiot.
Why is this even a news story?
Because it's on Mac Rumors now, and you take news stories off Mac Rumors because I'm lazy. Why Mac Rumors haven't caught up to us and put down a takedown notice, I've no idea, but they should do. Mac Rumors, if you're listening, put a takedown notice in, definitely, because we just crib off your stuff. Mind you, we do give you a load of advertising, so... extra button that says, I have to say yes to the subscription. My face is not enough of a confirmation on its own.
Mm.
No?
I don't like
it. You don't like it? Why?
No.
Is that just so we got something to discuss? Because if we all went, yeah, it's great.
No. It's because, okay, so one of the benefits of Face ID, and I say the same thing about places that still make you sign when you use Apple Pay. I'm like, the whole point of Apple Pay was to get rid of the signature. Not that anybody looks at the signature and not that I actually write my real signature, but even that extra step is a waste of time because we know that it's a moot point.
Good use of the word moot and correctly used as well with double O. Well done, mate.
I had to do that because people say it wrong and it makes my skin hurt.
Yes.
So I think a large reason why they're doing this is because there are plenty of folk out there who buy things they shouldn't buy or get onto these, like, buying extra berries for Wee Farm or whatever. And then they find themselves with a bill. And it's because they did not control themselves. So the rest of us have to suffer. Every time I have to open a ballistic package and I hurt myself because a-holes love stealing stuff, I get pissed that my life has to be interrupted because somebody else can't be responsible. And I have been considered the evil a-hole of my neighborhood for like the last 2 weeks because I don't think Uber should have said anything about the girl that got into the wrong car because they're making it like it's Uber's fault. And I'm like, no, she, all the rules are there. Your name, your driver, your license plate. And it's sad that got, you know, demise. But that was on her, yo. At some point, the humans have got to stop coddling. And if we don't, we're going to become ineffective. Like, part of the reason why we're so good is we didn't coddle. We explored and we tried things. And, you know, we took onus of ourselves. And I'm getting so irritated with the training wheels. It's just a personal issue for me.
See, I don't see this as training wheels, though. I see this. It's entirely possible to think you're paying for a product outright. You missed the signs as you were going through the purchase process. And one more step that lets you know that you're actually signing up for a subscription, I'm for it. I have absentmindedly almost bought something on a subscription plan when it wasn't something that made sense as a subscription. So I just assumed pay once.
And I get that, but it says monthly pro subscription. Then it says policy. Nobody reads. But if you read said policy, then that would be solved. And then a quarter of an inch later, it says 1 week trial free starting April 19th at something, something, something a month.
So yeah, and I'm saying that it's entirely possible to space out through all of that.
You can buy an annual subscription. So Bear, there's a bad example that they put. But it has both. So, like, seriously, if you read it instead of double tapped it, then you wouldn't have that problem. I've accidentally done it. I'm not going to say I'm not at fault, but I own that fault. I don't turn around and go, Apple, you should have stopped me from being a dumbass.
I just can't complain about one extra tap.
I'm sorry. I'm with Doc. Doc, good on you for taking the opposite stance there just to get a discussion out of it. but I think the rest of us there.
I guess the funny part is I am completely irresponsible for so many things, but I always never blame somebody else for my irresponsibility.
The amount of roast meats that you eat with alcohol drunk is inversely directly proportional to the amount of alcohol drunk. It's like a critical point.
Holla back. True story. Right. Yeah. So, but I don't know.
There's a point at which alcohol ensures that cholesterol no longer becomes an issue in your head. Yeah.
I'm pretty good. I just got my test.
That's actually accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm working with that.
My cholesterol is solid right now. I'm surprised.
Alcohol turns me into a refrigerator every time. Your choices about food are inversely proportional to your choices on alcohol.
Yeah, that's true.
As a bloke trying to lose weight, I know when I'm drunk, I'm not very good at losing weight. This is cool. Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, has pushed out a picture showing what the new Disney app on Apple TV is going to look like. And I've got to say, I wasn't very excited before, but now I'm a lot more excited because for $6.99, it looks like you're getting a shitload of content. You're getting a historical archive, as well as you can pay $69 a year to get it all. And I've got to say, nice. I'm close to sharpening my credit card at this point, just having seen this one picture.
Yeah.
All my friends yesterday were talking about how they were diving in. And the greatest part of that is I had at least four people in the conversation that are like, I hate subscription stuff. I really, really do, but I'm going to buy this.
Oh, Disney. Yeah, but then they go, oh, Disney. Oh. And you've got a little niece, mate. You know this is going to be mandatory. In your house.
Oh, it's going down. Like, I'm not even going to ask my sister. I'm just going to buy it because it makes life easier. Most of the time, I try not to do the here, watch this while I do something else. And I normally stay engaged with her. But every once in a while, it comes up and I tell her, look, don't get, you know, married to this. But at this moment, I need full concentration on problem X. So enjoy this iPad and knock yourself out. Normally, I'm teaching her how to code on the iPad. So.
Don't feel bad. Ellis knows everything he knows from Dora the Explorer.
Emma looks like Dora the Explorer.
Have you seen there's a new Dora the Explorer movie?
She does.
I was at the cinema the other night. I watched Captain Marvel. I can thoroughly recommend it. It made me even more excited about Endgame coming, which I'm not excited about movies at all, but I'm struggling to sleep over Endgame. I'm supposed to be going out and getting pissed on the 25th. And that's the day it's released, isn't it? So I'm not going to make a midnight showing, which I'm actually seriously, this is how bad it is. I'm seriously thinking about not going out and getting pissed that night so that I can go to a midnight showing.
You know what's funny? I just had this conversation yesterday about The Lion King.
What, you want to go and see that?
I want to see the new Lion King because the CG is just incredible. I mean, I know the story, so I'm not going to really be, you know, watching about what's going on in the story. But the CG is incredible. Like, I looked at it, and I'm just floored because coming back from the mind's eye, you remember that first DVD way back in the day when everything was all Symbolics workstation, and having had a Symbolics workstation and worked on it with me and my dad and my brother almost killing each other, like, when I see these level of animations, I'm just floored by it.
I can't get that excited about them. Okay.
So for a 40-year-old man who would never even let a child into his house, is there any reason I should be paying attention to Disney?
Yeah, what's... Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Thank you, Ebenezer.
Star Wars
and Marvel.
See, but when it comes to movies, I can rent movies anywhere. And not the original Star Wars, obviously, but do I need a subscription plan to watch movies once?
Well, no, because what I'm saying is this is a subscription plan where you'll get to watch all of Disney's output ever.
Okay.
Potentially, because it says all of their historical content will still be on there as well. So you've got you got Snow White on there and Cinderella and all that kind of stuff, which I know you're not into, but you'll be able to go back and see shitloads of stuff. National Geographic's on there. No, sorry, Disney's on there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Disney is they keep their content like in a vault. So they only like certain things they only release even like digitally or anywhere every couple of years. And supposedly this service actually allows you to access that content all the time. So I think it's still worth it because you will not get the stuff any other way. I'm pretty sure like Disney is already very stingy with releasing anything on iTunes or Netflix or whatever. I'm pretty sure they're going to crack down on that even more just to push their own service.
Well, that's why all the Marvel movies or all the Marvel shows are canceled.
Yeah, exactly.
Brett is not in the circle of life.
But it's funny because I'm with Brett. You know, I don't have any kids. I do have an Emma. So my kid eating tolerance has changed a lot. But I've always been a fan of Disney and Pixar movies. Even before Steve Jobs had his hands in it kind of thing. Like, I just always loved it again because I came from originally wanting to be a 3D animator. But the thing about Pixar movies, which I still to this day absolutely love, the first time you watch it, you just kind of laugh because the jokes are great. They're fast and furious, the writing. The second time you watch it, you notice these little Easter eggs in the comedy. Things like in Ice Age when the sloth talks about lactating, which is hilarious because it's like this is a kid's movie and there's no way kids understand that joke, but it's funny. Then the third time you watch it, you start to see the little Easter eggs in the background, like there's a Mickey Mouse on the shelf or there's a Disney icon somewhere, or you know, they just have like little random things in the back. So you can watch a Pixar movie about 20 times and still keep unpacking it, and I love that level of detail. You know,
yeah,
Toy Story is crazy with the Easter eggs.
Oh, if you look at all of
them. Then you get into this conspiracy theories, and it's even better.
When you see the, someone told me about the naked lady in the window in Roger Rabbit. And I was like, what? So I immediately Googled it, and sure enough, there it is. There's a naked lady in a window in Roger Rabbit. There's like the shape of the floor in Aladdin. There's, if you imagine it's the head of Mickey, it is the head of Mickey. Whereas if you don't watch, if you're not imagining that, you can't see it. There's some really good stuff in there. A good point from Deep Pan, which I was about to make, was if I'm paying $6.99 a month for this and say Endgame comes off general release, does that mean I get to watch it as part of my subscription straight away? Because if it is, hell yeah.
I hope so.
Hell yeah. I think that seems a bit too good to be true. They're going to try and sell it to me first, aren't they? Well, I'm dumb enough, I'm going to buy it. So,
so will I.
Yeah. Foxconn is beginning production of the iPhone in India this July. iPhone 10. Big market, isn't it, for them?
Yeah. I just
big market
like
and a market that
easy,
is not easy to get into.
How do you mean not easy to get into?
Well, Apple has, like, there have been news stories about this over the last couple of years where India has basically cracked down on imported electronics. And basically they require manufacturers to apparently do some kind of manufacturing assembly in India in order to be able to sell it, to sell their products there. And that was like a year or two ago, a story about that. So it sounds like India is very hard to get into because the government really doesn't want anybody from the outside to not invest in the country and simply sell their products there.
So
especially on the technology side.
Do you think this is purely an internal a manufacturing strategy, or do you think that India is going to become a gateway for production out to Europe, maybe? Because it's a lot closer.
I think it will in the long run.
Yeah.
I think in the beginning, it's going to be about working hand-in-hand with the government to tighten up the things about NFC payments and maps. Can you imagine maps in India? Like, it's just a whole different thing. But the other thing that's great is they're literally saying that we're not just going to keep selling you this stuff. We are going to put yourself in a position where you could become a part of it by, you know, being an employer, working in a factory or whatever. So by building themselves into the ecosystem, they're almost not guaranteeing their success, but they're doing a much better job of their success. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
also,
like bringing the girl home and cooking her dinner is a lot better than just going home and open a bottle of wine.
Also bringing capital into the country this way, because then you have more people that can afford it. I mean, we've seen it to some extent in China. It wasn't just Apple. It was everybody. But I think that's part of the deal.
Their hardest rub is going to be India politics is a crazy beast. So that's going to be their hardest part. But maybe they could even bring some sanity to it, you know, because the possibility of making money or solving problems for people, you know, can go a long way for leverage, I guess.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Apple is already manufacturing all around the world. I know that they have, for much the same reason, a factory in Brazil and probably more. And I'm pretty sure Apple wants to diversify their supply chain as well. Like, they do that with even like part suppliers, where they have usually at least two that supply parts, so that if one of them doesn't work out or has any kind of issue, they can just switch over to the other one. And I'm pretty sure they want to do the same thing. You don't want to be dependent on, especially on China, especially in the current political climate here and there. You don't want to be dependent on or have your entire supply chain and your entire revenue depend on like the whims of one country or two, if you count the US.
I've just gone to, because I wondered when you were saying about maps, I just thought, I wonder if Mount Everest is in 3D on Apple Maps, and it is, and it looks awesome. It's cool. There you go. And you can actually look at the top of it and you can zoom in. They've done like a high resolution 3D of it. And
what does it look like, Mickey, at the top?
No, it doesn't. But what's interesting, is that, Mount Everest has got 392 reviews on TripAdvisor. And it's like, damn, I want to be one of those people. I really want to be one of only a couple of people who've put the review of their climb at Mount Everest on TripAdvisor.
It's funny. The view is wonderful, but the weather is crap.
Yeah. Couldn't get a latte. Shit.
The air stinks.
Yeah. Crap air. Apple Watch has got full notification and high heart rate and what's the word I'm looking for? Heart-related features that have come in. Rich Hartness, Dr. Rich Hartness, who's been around the network for a lot of years, sent me a thing of his ECG that was doing it off his watch, and he was incredibly impressed with it. Mm-hmm. He said it was awesome. And they're talking about fall detection on it, which I think is really cool, especially if you've got a lone worker. You know, someone in a factory or remote working, that kind of stuff, they could detect if he's fallen over. That's really quite cool.
I heard on another podcast the other day someone fell like or had an accident with his bike, and he didn't even expect it to like trigger fall detection, but it totally did and was going crazy, and he didn't expect it. So he was like, what is this? Like, why is my Apple Watch going crazy? And then he realized it was fall detection.
Okay, this is a good story because of what Ewan said about my grilled meats and alcohol.
Ah. If it could detect when you've lost the ability to control your consumption of alcohol and food.
No, it's after I fall.
Oh, well, you fall over, right? Yeah, yeah.
When you're horizontal.
Proper drunk. Nobody sits up straight.
Yeah, it's got an inclinometer on it, so it knows when you reach 35 degrees from the horizontal, and you're not supposed and you're not sleeping.
Oh, that's great. It's going to be like, ask the waitress for ice water.
Right, because then it shuts off Apple Pay and you can't pay your tab.
Oh, now that's the first app, Brett.
Yeah, because then it guarantees a night in a cell.
No, it's, right. It's perfect. It's just a go home, you're drunk app.
Pay your bill, sir. I can't.
They'll just make it like China where it just reports you for being drunk and it goes on your Sesame credit.
Yeah. I think it would be funny if it could call your old lady after you get past a certain tab at the bar.
It's like, hey, you should probably pick him up. He's ready.
It says, and then it'll ask you, what is Booty Palace?
Flirt alert. Flirt alert.
It's a barbecue joint, hon. I never heard of barbecue called Booty Palace. Oh, I mean like pirate booty. There was definitely no ass shaking on the pole over there.
You've been through this conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, dear me. So is there a place in Hawaii called, on your island called Booty Palace then, mate?
Actually, it's so blatant, it's funny if you understand it, but if you don't, it doesn't. It's actually the most popular place is called La Femme Nue, which means the naked lady. It's so simple, but some people don't know what it means. Like, oh, what's Femme Nue? And I'm like, it's a naked lady. So that's the most... Patrice said, because Jerome probably took him.
No, because I know French.
Oh. Brandamore, whatever.
Is there a geolocation alert service that's going to come on the Apple Watch so your wife can get into your iCloud and specify if you go to a certain geolocation you're not allowed and she gets a text?
There are definitely stalker apps out there that already do that.
That's not a new tech.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Crazy. The stalker app thing is crazy. I can't believe they exist and Apple let them exist.
That is crazy. Mac shipments are down in Q1 of 2019. However, everyone's PC sales are down. Lenovo's are up, though. They've had a growth year on year of 6.9%, which is huge. But they started selling £149 laptop because I bought one. And it's wicked good if you just want a little bit of Windows, a little bit of internet access, a little bit of email and a browser, and that's it. It's perfect. At £149, you can't beat it. So I think that's where they've got their growth from, is the fact that they've started selling really cheap stuff. Small growth for HP, small growth for Dell, which I was surprised at. But Apple is down. It's the least declined of the decliners. But I'm quite surprised that Acer and Asus, because they've generally done fairly cost-sensitive computers, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that a lot of like businesses are updating from... I've seen like a lot of Acers and Asuses in businesses, and that they're going to Dell because Dell is the business company now. Yeah. Either Dell or HP.
Yeah, no. So is this all business sales then that have caused the growth, or?
I guess so. I mean, the question is, why is it declining? Like what is happening in the market right now that makes them decline?
Lack of need. Computers are lasting longer. We've gone out. We're outside the Moore's law, aren't we now?
There's
so much more that can be done. I mean, I'm not part of the number, but I may be part of the number because buying an iPad Pro eliminated the need to buy a new MacBook, because all I really used the MacBook for in the past was video editing, and iPad Pro and Lumaphore just covered that. The email checking and answering back, you know, answering YouTube comments and you know, podcast comments and whatnot. That's all can be done from the pro. So I just needed myself out. I still have a full desktop for my, you know, functioning work, you know, the iMac, but I'm sure that I'm not a outlier. There's a lot of people that's on that tip, but also I think the gap between the growth right now versus what everyone thinks the next gen is going to bring, you know, that Intel bump from 7th gen to 8th gen was kind of, but then that Intel bump from 7th gen to 9th gen is kind of wicked. I think that's the other thing for the Macs. We haven't started getting 9th gen until, what, 2 weeks ago? So when the rest of the 9th gen stuff comes out in the summer after Dub, then we'll probably see growth go back up.
Yeah, I just think, you know, my computers are lasting a lot longer than I thought they would. Which is kind of silly then, because they're obsolete in the watch. You know, it's just like, you know, there's a paradox there for me.
Yeah, on the other hand, I think that's every new product. Like, if you look at, it happened with laptops, it's happening with phones, it's also happening with tablets, or even has been happening for quite a while. I'm pretty sure the watch will follow.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how technology, or like, I think almost every product evolves. Like, once it's new, there are a lot of changes, improvements, and things to do, and then eventually the market is like, well, I got what I need.
Yeah, cool. Biggest story of the week. Absolutely biggest story of the week, no question. Prince Harry is doing a show with Oprah for Apple TV Plus. It's a serious one because it's on mental health. Good on them both. But I just want to know, do you think that Oprah's agent went to her and said, listen, Harry wants to do a show with you. And she's like, meh, oh, maybe, not worried. Or do you think someone went to Harry and said, Oprah wants to do a show with you? And he went, yeah. Who was more excited?
I think he was
Harry. Harry. Yes, we do it. Harry was more excited than Oprah.
Yeah.
I've got to say, I do like Harry. He's not going to be king, probably. So he's getting further and further away from it. He might as well be a TV star. And he's a good bloke and all. I think he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. So, good on him.
Yeah, he's well liked.
I saw excerpt definitely yesterday on, go ahead, Reese.
No, I was just saying he's well liked, so it's definitely not a bad idea, and I'm pretty sure he can offer also some content.
Yeah, and he's got TV connections with Meghan.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a little excerpt yesterday on Trevor Noah, and you know they were talking about it, and you know, this is a big deal because mental health is something that is heavily shunned in my community. And it's something that the stigma needs to go away. And, you know, Oprah will go a long way with making that happen. But I think the other part that makes it go, like, how can you try to hide from it when someone in his position will come out and talk about it too? You know what I mean? So it's like two good ends of the spectrum to talk about it, to help people like not see that it's, you know, such a thing. You know, it's a brave topic. And, you know, honestly, kudos to our lad on the squad right now, because Brett has divulged a lot, you know, in his career. And I think it helps people a lot. I mean, it's a hard thing to do. I think it's a hard thing to do. So I love it when people flesh out and say it, because I think it will reach to someone else and let them come out and talk about, you know, their demons. And, you know, having struggled through PTSD myself, like, it's an important conversation, folks, and it's not had enough.
I get emails all the time that say that they felt comfortable talking about their problems to their boss because I was so open about it on my podcast. So it does make a difference getting someone like Oprah to.
Yeah, like, the most watched person in TV history wants to take your cause. You say yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a sliding scale, though, isn't it, as well? Because it's like everyone wants to focus on serious depressions, but it's just, you know, that's born out of a little bit of uncertainty to begin with. And it is just a little bit of insecurity and a bit of uncertainty, and, oh, I wonder if people like me, or I wonder if, this is the way it's going to pan out, or that didn't go the way that I thought. And it is a slope that you slide down that gets you eventually down to that position. So there's mm-hmm. no point in not talking about it too early.
I don't know that that's true. Clinical depression happens. There's not really a like series of events that leads to it. It's a mental illness.
Yeah, but there is a mode of thinking that then percolates into that kind of stuff. There's a lot of people who have troubles to begin with where things just pile up and then it hits a breaking point.
That's just called shit luck.
Wow.
I separate that from depression.
Right.
Like with depression, things can be going great and you have you take no joy in it. Like everything seems gray. You have no motivation, even though there's no external cause. And that makes you feel even worse. Like, why am I not happy? Why shouldn't I be having the time of my life right now? There must be something wrong with me, but I don't want to tell anyone, you know, because they'll think I'm crazy. Like that's depression to me.
Yeah, see, that stuff I didn't know until you and I collabed on a podcast one time and you explained that to me. And I was floored by that because I used to often wonder, how can this athlete, dude, made it out of the hood. He got like $100 million contract and he got like 5 girlfriends that are all hella hot. And like, you know, he got whips for days. Like, why is he depressed, you know, to the point where, you know, he felt the need to take his life kind of thing. And I used to always wonder that. And then when you and I did that podcast once and we were talking about stuff like that, that was the first time I knew that. You know, mm-hmm. I literally thought it was a bunch of people piled on you. And then you're like, man, F this. I can't deal with it. You know, I didn't know that you could be totally happy one minute and then like totally great the next minute kind of thing. So I know that my understanding of things is opened up because it's different to hear TV people talking about it. It's different to hear a coworker who I respect talk about it, you know, and Brett too.
But depression's not exclusive to people who don't have a cause.
No, it's true. Absolutely.
It can happen to everyone.
And anyone even without clinical depression, you can still have a really bad day and be in a really bad place and have a really tough time with it. Yeah. I'm just saying there's a difference between that and what is commonly treated with medication as clinical depression.
Yeah.
And the problem in my community is we treat it with medications made in the garage by a couple of tweakers.
That and weed.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, good on Oprah for standing up and doing it, and good on Harry as well. And I hope it's a really good watch. It's one of the,
will they get a concatenated name?
Hera?
I don't know. You know how they have like Brangelina.
Prince Ra.
Oprah. Yeah, it would be Oprah.
Prince Ra.
Oprah. I like that. Like come on,
there's another discussion. Who comes first? He's a prince for Christ's sake. But she's Oprah.
She's Oprah.
Yeah, but she's a queen around here anyway.
She's a queen, yep.
Well, no, because it'd be aunts, wouldn't it, if it was Oprah first, which is just not good. Prinra.
Okay. We got to come up with it and release it to the media first.
Do you think the chemistry's good? Do you think they're like buddy-buddy?
I'd be really curious to see that.
Who bows to who?
That's so funny.
Harry's intimidated by Oprah.
Oh, I could totally see
I don't think
that.
So, but
I mean, he's a duke and she's a queen, so it's different.
Windrider's put, if you're skydiving and your parachute doesn't open, don't worry, you've got the rest of your life to fix it.
If you die doing what you love, you'll never work another day in your life.
Good thought to end with.
That's a good one.
I've been so wrapped up in that I forgot to do the TSO host page thing, so excuse me. This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO host. They have been absolutely fantastic to us. We don't need you to spend shed loads of money with them, however you can, and you can get an offer code BTN20 gets you 20% off your basket for hosting services through them. But we do need you, and we really need you to go out and say thanks. And if you're doing this every week, you know, once a week, you listen to this podcast, you go, right, okay, straight away I'm going to do that. And you tweet out, thanks at TSO Host for supporting At British Tech. That is what we need, and that makes a massive difference. The brand recognition for them is the reason that they're part of the network. So please make sure you get out there and support them. Simple messages. And also thanks to Telestream as well. Would be great because they give us the Wirecast software that allows us to stream all this stuff out. And also then to Hoya because they give me my glasses. So anything for Hoya UK, anything for telestream.net, and anything for TSO Host would be fantastic. Thank you very much to them, all of the people that support this network. And thanks also to the people who give donations. If you go to britishtechnetwork.com/subscription, you can donate $5 a month, $10 a month, or $20 a month. And it goes towards keeping everything moving, buying the microphones, getting people in cameras and things like that, that kind of stuff. It keeps the network functioning and running. And it pays for Kyle to do the Daily Show. And I went to a dinner last night. I was doing the photography there, and they gave me a free dinner. And I sat next to a guy, and he listens to Kyle's show. And he said, that's brilliant. He said, I love that show. It is absolutely the best podcast I download every single week. So there you go. The Daily News Show with Kyle. And it's been in the What's Hot list as well on iTunes this week. So well done to Kyle for doing that as well. But it supports the Kyle, and it pays for Kyle to do that show every week or every day. Right, time for the cool things. Start us off, Doc.
All right, so I'm going to send you the link just for your keeping, but I'm sure you already know this link. This has come up in the past on the show, but I want to reiterate it just in case. I use this contraption. This is a movie gimbal, and of course, it's black, and I'm wearing black clothes today, but if I turn on my phone, you'll see it's a gimbal that allows my phone to do what I ask it to do whenever I'm out, you know, traveling, shooting. It's nice and stable, kind of flexes around and moves. Well, my app of choice for filming on an iPhone is an app called Filmic Pro. And in the recent updates, they've just done some incredible things. But one of the coolest things they did was they added more hardware. So whether you buy like a Ziwi Smooth or, you know, any of the like $100 gimbals that are out now for iPhones, or something as crazy as like this $300 gimbal for an iPhone, Filmic Pro can actually operate with a lot of those gimbals. But it just has some really incredible stuff, and something that you wouldn't think you would be able to do from an iPhone app. But if you pay, like the app itself is free, or you can pay, I think, like $20 to unlock the whole, you know, kit and caboodle, and you get things like S-Log profiles or flat profiles, if you will, expanded dynamic range. So when you come into your color grading in Final Cut Pro or DaVinci Resolve, you can get filmic looks, funny in the name, right? You can get really dope cinematic looks from Filmic Pro on the iPhone. So let me pull this up real quick. About a week ago or so, just messing around on my YouTube channel, I created this short film, so to speak. It's only like a minute long, but using Filmic Pro, because I just wanted to see that movie quality you could pull out of an iPhone nowadays. And it's quite incredible. So just to play around with your phone, if you're a casual shooter, just download the regular app, play with it. It's incredible. But if you're into shooting things for a purpose, marketing your business or, you know, your kids' thing or promoting something you have, check out Filmic Pro, the real deal, because it's quite the incredible app.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Cool. Brett, what have you got for us, mate?
All right. I'm going way off topic. I'm going to drop, I didn't bring it to the camera with me, so I'm dropping a link in IRC.
Yeah, got it.
It's called the Shortcut Pro. And how, I have to look, how long are your guys' hair? Doc could probably use this. It's for people who keep their hair very short. It's the easiest way I've ever found to give myself a haircut. It takes about half the time of using any of the clippers I've had before. It's got a rounded blade, so it fits the curve of your head. The length adjustments are snapped onto it, so they don't I had one that like you extended it to the length you wanted, but then if you pushed too hard, it would get short and then you'd have to cut everything shorter. It's fully wireless, fully waterproof. I love that.
It looks
awesome.
It looks really
cool. That's cool.
It looks like it sits nicely in the palm.
I had an early rendition and it sucked. This looks better.
That's the beauty of it. It's like a puck with a blade, so you can hold it any way you need to in your hand. So doing the back of your head, you just rotate it in your hand and it's like you're combing your hair almost.
Oh, this is cool.
I can vouch.
I had an original one called the Fader, and I think it was made by Walt. And it had the problem that you said it would go shorter when you didn't want it to. Normally, yeah. Not a problem for me, but the puck didn't feel good in the hands. The shape of this, everything, the air.
I get excited every time it's time to cut my hair.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
I never used to, but now I do.
Oh, this is really cool.
You're welcome.
Dang it. It is wasted $50, dude.
Excellent pick, mate. Thank you very much. Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
So I'm, if it's okay, going to pick something that is actually from BTN. That's our Fantasy Photo League, because I think it's awesome. But
it is. I'm sorry I've been such an ass with it.
Oh, it's not just you. Like, we've had like a little bit of a like participant meltdown, I would call it. Like, only very few people are participating, including me. Like, I'm also bad at taking pictures in time and submitting them. So I wanted to mention it. It's really cool. Like, a lot of people getting together. Ewan gives us a topic for the month. We go outside, or you can also do it inside, but I usually go outside. We shoot like a really nice picture. We submit it. Then you get to vote on it later, and usually if Ewan has time, he will also give us feedback, which is super valuable. And you also get to see what other people have done. Like, you get to see what, I don't know, Bolt Scott, for example, what he took.
And the standard's cool. The standard is very good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
And you get to see the feedback that Ewan gave as well. So it's about like other people's submissions. So you don't just learn about your own thing and what you did and what you could improve, but you also see what you might maybe learn from others and what their improvements could be and what you could maybe adopt yourself. So it's actually very, very useful. It's not much effort. Like I said, like, all you have to do is take a really nice picture and submit it. There are some minor rules that are all on the upload page. Like, obviously nothing that would identify you, because otherwise kind of pointless. We want to have like anonymous
voting. Yeah.
But as I said, all you have to do is go to our chat room. There's a photo leak, or there's a photo show channel. Go in there and you will get all the info you need. Just ask for it or ask me. We'll do that. So please, if you can, please participate, because it is awesome. It's really helpful and it's a lot of fun.
I need to start doing a few comments, because if I could sit down with a link and just go in and, you know, have I got a portal where I can go in and start just typing links when I got 5 minutes or something?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. Give me
like, we have a portal with the pictures, and all you need is either a document to write it somewhere or...
I'll do that. Excellent. I like that. I need to do more on that, because I started it off, and then I did it for a year solidly, and then I started to tail off, cause I just started to run out of time. So,
yeah.
And as I got back into photography, like, I keep telling myself I want to do it, but I never remember what the topic of the month is or whatever. But to be honest with you, this thing is so dope. When I do go in and stare at it and look at this stuff, it could almost be an app. Mm-hmm. It could be an app that sits on the phone, and it's like, you know, a sort of a worldwide thing. Because one of the things I get a kick out of is when I'm looking at the photos, is seeing the way you guys see these one word, you know, stuff. Like, at one point I remember there was one, and it was go and find construct, and it wasn't construction. But my brain could not get construction out of my head. And then as you're watching other people's pictures and you're seeing like what people in their neck of the woods, even in the same country, but in various parts of that country, what those things meant to them, kind of thing. Right.
I did a jigsaw that month.
Yeah. So like I just pulled up it real quick, because I've been out for a minute, but I'm looking at the sari and I see your guys' peony things, and I don't understand the full thing of it, but I just know that all, you know, it's like your guys' Memorial Day, and all the gaffers wear these joints in soccer matches, or football matches, I should say. So like, I love like reconnecting to what, you know, means something to you versus like us. And like the cultural aspect of it is beautiful. So I'd kind of love to see this like expanded way past just us and our crazy lot of friends. Mm-hmm. It'd really make a good app.
But we need our crazy lot of friends to use it first, because they're not, so. Absolutely.
But then you don't have to worry about just only two people grading it, right? Yeah. So Patrice, when we're offline, just explain me how to do it, and I'm going to do it this month because I'm traveling, so I have no excuse. I'm on vacation to take pictures.
So the thing is as well, I always try and pick words or use words that are interpreted, because I type them, so I don't say them. So I think last month's was lead or lead, wasn't it? L-E-A-D.
Yeah.
So you've got a choice there. You can use lead, L-E-A-D, as in plum, or you can do lead. It's your choice.
Mm-hmm. And then even on lead, there is a lot of room for improvement.
You've got lead as in cable flex, and then you've got lead as in take someone along, pull them along. So there's tons of stuff. Yeah. So
see what I mean? Like, we don't call them leads. We call them wires. And I know you guys call them leads, but I would have completely forgotten that until somebody posted a picture of a bunch of wires.
Yeah, but it's fine because you have other options. Like, you do what you think, and then you see all the different options. It's really fun to see.
Yeah, my lead picture would be Zeppelin.
Except that's spelled wrong. That'd be LED.
It was a joke. It was a joke.
You crap speller, you. Michael thing. Now, I bought a Ring doorbell. I've got a Ring doorbell. They sent me one for review, and I've been using it. And every time it runs out of battery power, it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, I wish I'd plumbed this in. And I tried to plumb it into the wiring once, and I failed miserably. So I this week, I went and thought, right, I've got to get this sorted, because we've got a new conservatory door on, so I can't fix it to it. I've got to fix it to the wall. So I went and got the Ring doorbell transformer from a company called Vivria, with two eyes, on Amazon. $16.59, and it sends you everything that you need, including a transformer and a 2-meter lead that will reach through into your porch or whatever. And they also send you the diode that you need in order to make it work, which is kind of useful, which is where I was falling down before. So for £16.59, it was effortless to get it up and running. And the thing that's kind of cool with this is it actually does run with loads of other different doorbell devices. So it does the Ring, it does the Ring video, and it does the Nest Hello doorbell as well. So, all of them. Excellent, fellas. Where can we get a hold of you?
You can find me all over the internet at DocRocks, DocRock. It's still only six now. I'm mostly my work right now is on the new YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/DocRock.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Brett, where would you be?
You can find me at brettterpstra.com writing, and then everywhere else as TTScoff, TTSCOFF.
Excellent, mate. And Patrice, where will you be?
As always, every week here on The Mac Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again. We're not here next week. We're having a week off because it's Easter. And I've got work on the Friday, so we're not going to be here next week. But back the week after, everything will be the same. And we hope you have a great weekend. See you soon. Thanks for listening.